R-K-E-Y.
The pressure's on in Wisconsin as several teachers are starting to get layoff notices. While the governor tells the Democrats to get back now, those that fled, originally called the Fabulous 14, now they're like the outlaw Jesse Wells, or Wales, sort of, a whole bunch of them running around. Will they come back? Ultimately, what happens? It looks like the governor will get his way. Speaking of getting his way, Muammar Gaddafi is trying desperately to get his. It's not looking good. The U.S. froze $30 billion of Gaddafi's assets, $30 billion. He's running out of cash, I think, as he tries to dig in. He's not running out of allies altogether at this point because people are still being fired on. About 1,000 people have died so far. So the U.S. is thinking about military options against Libya. What do you think? Should the U.S. dive in with firepower? We could end this whole thing. 800-259-5791. Kate Delaney hanging with you here on these airwaves. Little old show called America Tonight. If you can't get through on the phone lines or don't have the inclination to do so, or you're working and listening to the show, shoot us your thoughts at americatonight.net. That will be funneled right through the email system and will get to us. And we'll probably get to it at a future date because we check our mailbag each and every night. Some other big news has to do with the health care mandate. Judge Vinson is expected to rule tomorrow in Florida about the constitutionality of that mandate forcing Americans to get health care. What do you want to bet? He says it's unconstitutional and it moves up the chain. I think it's probably going to move up the chain and be challenged after Vinson's ruling. In fact, I'm very certain of it. In the meantime, the president realizes this, and so do the president's men. So he is backing, call me cynical, he's backing off the individual mandate for states because the governors are in town. And he said, oh, by the way, if you want to do it differently, go for it. Go ahead. Take the route. He says that, or the route. And the president says he supports a plan allowing states to apply for a waiver to opt out of that mandate in 2014 rather than 2017. But there is a catch to all of this. Of course there's a catch to it. Why would it be proposed if there weren't? They would have to, the states, demonstrate to the federal health officials to them that there are alternative proposals, and it would probably be health insurance exchanges, would cover at least the same number of people at the same or lower cost as provided under the federal program. Well, you know where that's going. So here's, in his own words, some of what the president had to say about health care.
It will give you flexibility more quickly while still guaranteeing the American people reform. If your state can create a plan that covers as many people as affordably and comprehensively as the Affordable Care Act does without increasing the deficit, you can implement that plan, and we'll work with you to do it. I don't believe that any single party has a monopoly on good ideas, and I will go to bat for whatever works, no matter who or where it comes from.
All right, who or where it comes from. So we'll see ultimately if there's any uptake on that. Probably not. The folks at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue are saying, look, you can think whatever you want to think, but we've been trying to give the states flexibility in coming up with an answer to the dire circumstances that they are facing, even saying they're going to ease off Medicaid requirements if they were contributing to the state's economic stress, which is, that's a pretty big concession. Think Medicaid is contributing to the economic stress of 30 or more states. I know I'm going to let you be the judge on that one. We've been talking about New Zealand a lot, and a lot of you have been sending me links to things that you've read about Christchurch and the people there. And, boy, it's just awful. Now 240 people have been killed in what happened on the 22nd. They're mourning and burying the dead. That's exactly what's happening. Thousands of people at one point gathered, paused, and bowed their heads for 2 minutes of silence. In the background, they could probably hear bulldozers because they were still pulling piles of rubble and pushing them into spaces. The traffic can't withstand that. They need to clear a path, so to speak. So flags are at half mast. The Prime Minister, John Key, asked that the nation's 4.5 million people join in a show of unity for the people enduring tragedy. I like what he said here. Beyond what most of us can imagine. Can you imagine if this happened to you? And you had half of your family with you and the other half was not with you. And the answer is it would be absolutely staggering. And there's probably a delay for some in that grief process because they're too busy trying to help out with the recovery efforts, since so many of the buildings have crumbled and some wouldn't be safe to go into. That's really pretty much what's going on. There is a sense, from what I understand, of people getting back to their lives, but yet it's a very different life, especially if they were from Christchurch in and around there. It's that tough for the people because neighbors were killed, etc. I mean, you know the stories. And like I said, they are just awful. I mean, just awful, awful, awful. Coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight, so one of the things that we're going to do is talk about this new report. You know, we always say it's about the numbers. This new report says that the Republican cuts would actually cost 700,000 jobs. 700,000 jobs. I'm always leery of some of the numbers that are thrown around. How do they arrive at that number? Well, it was a report from an economist at Moody's that says there is no question that this is what will happen. But ultimately, the Republicans are saying, whoa, wait a second, where are you pulling these numbers? Where it's kind of fuzzy math. Where are you getting these numbers? Because 700,000 in the cuts, we're not getting a 700,000 loss here whatsoever. We're talking about some programs where you already have duplication. And that was one of the things that John McCain came out swinging about, is the fact that there's no way, no how, that many people will lose their jobs. And it is about the jobs. Ultimately, all the things that we're talking about, somehow the jobs and numbers get lost. It seems like every third or fourth person I meet, they're either underemployed and are working so many jobs they can barely stand up straight, or they're worried that they're going to lose their job, or they've just lost their job and they're desperately trying to find one to replace it. Really hard times for a lot of people, especially that middle class starting to really shrink. Coming up on the flip side, oh, the NFL, will they strike? Sports shorts next.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene need to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10. Or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising costs of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Fan, you were probably on cloud 9, 10, 11, and 12 when the team got Carmelo Anthony. But the question does become, are the Knicks now the best team in the NBA? Certainly in the East, are they the best team? A lot has shifted to the East. But it's a long season. And yes, there are still some prime months left. There's a handful, more than a handful, a couple dozen very important games coming up, let's put it that way. Donnie Walsh from the Knicks is not lost on this fact, and in fact, he talked about it in what has to happen with the Knicks down the stretch. Take a listen.
We have a very difficult month in March. We have 18 games in the month of March. That's a lot, and we're going to have to play our best basketball because you're at a point now where everybody is playing for positioning. Everybody's playing to get in the playoffs or to hang on to their playoff position. So there are going to be no off nights.
He's right. 18 games is a lot to play, and there's not going to be any off nights. Plus, when you're in the hotel room, you'll be watching college hoops to check out some of the younger players. March Madness officially almost here. Ooh. And March Madness means that we have Nail the Score coming back, only it's Hoop that we'll be talking about. And same thing applies. Computers pick a game. You tell us what you think's going to happen. What's the final score going to be? Usually we throw out a couple of games. The question in the NFL is not about the superior team or who's going to be there in the end, but will there be football next season? And I'll tell you, it's not necessarily a layup that we're going to see the NFL. I thought, from what I had heard, actually from a player, that it was looking pretty good. But now I'm kind of hearing the opposite, that if you really read between the lines, don't count on the NFL being there. It's, wow, what's happened? What's changed everything all of a sudden? Here you've got talk about the upcoming draft, all that sort of stuff. And in the meantime, on the other side of the room, you have talk of, yeah, there's no way to wrap this up without some kind of a lockout. And if that were to happen, this is what I don't think the players are realizing. If that were to happen, how many of you listening who are football fans, who are rabid football fans, how many of you would turn away from the great game? You know, that happened in baseball. They should talk to their friends in baseball, where so many people decided, I've had enough. I'm not going to invest my time in baseball and these players and these teams anymore if this is what they do to us when we're expecting everything to come back. People took it very personally. Will the same thing happen in the NFL? Well, if the NFL will pay the price, I think, if there is some kind of a work stoppage of any length where it carries over into this season. And absolutely, if it were to go deep into the season, forget about it. But I believe that the people in the NFL, whether it's the owners or the players or the greed in between or whatever, I think the NFL is going to try to play. It's funny, I saw a poll somewhere that said, how many games do you think the NFL is going to play this season? It was probably ESPN or Fox, since I'm always looking at one of the two. And the question was, 0 or 16? Or more than 16? Right now the vote is 66% think they're going to play 16 games. For zero games, 18%. Matt, what do you think? You're like me. You're a huge NFL fan. Do you think there's actually going to be a lockout?
I don't think there will be. I think it'll get to the point where, you know, they're going to miss part of the, like, the, what do they call them? The off-season workouts, the like mini camp deals.
Mini camps, yeah.
Yeah. But I think once it comes to draft time, because there's a lot of people who are going to be free agents. They're going to want to get their money. There are players who maybe they didn't save up enough money. I already read a story about, I think it was on the Jets, how one player asked another player for a $100,000 loan because they're running out of money. So I think the players are going to have to cave in a little bit, because it seems like the owners are better prepared for the lockout period than the players are. And the players are just going to have to concede some points. And maybe it is, I mean, I think the one thing that they should do is reduce the amount of that these number one draft picks are getting paid.
Oh, I so agree.
And then you can have kind of a veteran minimum or something. I think the NBA has something like that, where it would work out. So if you put in time in the league, if you've been playing, you know, 5 or 6 years, you're going to get a decent wage.
Absolutely.
Rather than this kid out of college who thinks he's, you know, the big guy,
the
big
beater.
Man on campus, and just flames out. Like, look at Alex Smith, the number one overall pick.
Oh.
He can't play quarterback. Or Jamarcus Russell, he's even a better example. And these guys are getting guaranteed $50 million.
I know. I agree with you. It's like all the talk about Cam Newton, and there you go with the quarterback scenario, wherever Cam Newton falls. A big, giant contract, are you kidding me? I'd say no.
Yeah, and then, I mean, there, when he comes out, like, Cam Newton or whoever the number one pick is, let's say it is Cam Newton, it's quarterback, he'll get $50 to $60 million guaranteed without ever playing a snap in the NFL, and that's practically what Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are getting paid. And he hasn't done anything remotely close to what they've done.
I agree. There has to be a performance thing somewhere wrapped in that, and that's where it has to start. So you can still pay them decently, but it should be based on moving through the years. And how many of those guys end up carrying a clipboard and sure they take some snaps and whatnot on the practice field occasionally, but they're not getting a lot of reps because the reps go to the main guy and the backup, and usually the draft pick, even unless he's just gone to a dead dog tired team and they decide we're going to risk it, we're going to throw him in there, which has happened. But usually they're at least the backup, sometimes even third on the depth chart. And that is ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're talking about that the NFL and the NFLPA, of course, are meeting with a federal mediator on Tuesday. They're trying to make progress. They don't want to have the league's first work stoppage since 87. The NFL owners are expected to vote Wednesday or Thursday on whether to have a lockout or not, whether it's going to be instituted. And the lead negotiator, a guy named Jeff Pasch, has said the cancellation of an entire offseason and preseason would actually mean $1 billion in lost revenue, because you would see a drop in the internet traffic and advertising revenue for team websites, because people are just dying for information and they want to go and they want to find out in the offseason.
It's the number one sport in the country by far. It has surpassed everything else in the country.
Absolutely.
And they'd be so dumb to ruin a good thing. It's just, it's bickering over millions of dollars that everyone is getting. And it's all these people's pockets are getting lined, and they're whining about
how it's being done.
So it's just, I don't know, it's kind of, when you look at it from an outsider's perspective and you're not involved in the sports world, it's just, and you think about your own job and things like that, it's just crazy. But that's like what these guys are doing. They're fighting over millions of dollars.
Right, when they're already making millions of dollars, and it makes everybody else cringe. And the drop in the bucket, a $1 billion loss, $1 billion, that's not for the regular season. That's for all the off-season stuff, like I said. Oh, I think they'd be stupid to do that. And then you get those boring stories. Well, they say it's day 25 of the lockout. We're getting close. So I talked to a player the other night. He said this, and then his buddy told me. That's what you get, and that's the kind of news that you get. Oh, think of the careers that would be crippled by it. We're kicking the can down the road. Hang with us.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793, call 877-747-2793, or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
There's a man named Dr. Wallach, who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs leading to side effects. This is clearly a deadly recipe. The good news is Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I want you to join our InfoWars team. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
The 6.0 magnitude quake that shook a part of Chile to the day a year after that horrible quake in Concepcion that took so many lives, almost 600 people. And we see, and we've been talking to people in New Zealand about Christchurch and what happened there, how horrific that's been, still in that mode of recovering the bodies and then rebuilding after 5 months ago going through the same thing, going through an earthquake. What about forecasting these suckers? What about a warning, some kind of warning to let people know? I don't care. You know, imagine if you had any kind of a head start, you could get away from some of these tall buildings. And when you say this to people, they laugh. Like, what, are you kidding me? You think that it's possible to predict earthquakes? David Nobhan, our next guest, joined us like 3.5 months ago, and we were talking about forecasting the catastrophe, the big one on the West Coast. When you live in California, you live with the fear that there is going to be the big one. But what if there were a way to have a little bit of time to get away from these suckers, to get to a safer spot. David's written a book called Predicting the Next Great Quake. David, always nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Thank you for having me on again, Kate. I appreciate it very much.
In California, like I said, you live with that. I think I told the story. I might not have said when you were on the last time, but I lived in California in the Central Coast, and there was a quake that hit Los Angeles, and so it was further away, but we still had the aftershocks, and you could feel it. It was like a rolling feeling, and all the people I worked with were Californians, so they immediately ducked, and someone said, oh, earthquake, and then went back to work afterwards because it wasn't such a big shock to them, and it didn't do any damage, but it was just an aftershock that we felt. There was much more damage in further south in Southern California. So certainly you know about these earthquakes and what happens and the conversation. Do you feel like people still are really in the back of their head thinking about that in San Francisco and in the north and in the south when it comes to the possibilities?
Well, you bring up a good point. You mentioned Christchurch and the disaster that happened there, and the fact that it was only a 6.3, not really a big one. We have our own Christchurch brewing, I think, in the Pacific Northwest. When you think of earthquake, you obviously, you know, Southern California and San Francisco come to mind, but probably Seattle is one of the cities facing the greatest seismic dangers on Earth, which is not on the radar screen of the American public at all. It's a strange anomaly. And, you know, the Seattle fault runs directly beneath Seattle, like Christchurch. A 6.7 or a 6.5 quake in Seattle would probably do more damage than anything ever seen in Southern California. So, you know, the agenda of earthquakes is very much to be seen in San Francisco, Southern California, that sort of thing. But the Pacific Northwest, it's so strange that with the Cascadia Fault Zone and the quake system up there, the fault system up there, that you very rarely hear anything. There's really the agenda isn't there. It's almost like the scene before Katrina when due diligence wasn't done on the levees.
Yeah, do you think that that's the politics of the earthquake business, of seismologists, of the organization itself when we think about it?
Well, you mentioned, you know, the absurdity of earthquake prediction. It's amazing. We can transplant hearts. We can catalog entire genomes. We can send spacecraft beyond into interstellar space, even measure the background radiation of the Big Bang itself. Yet somehow the only element in science which is, you know, we're prevented from even broaching is earthquake prediction. I don't know what brainiac in history chiseled in stone the fact that earthquake prediction is impossible. I can't find it. Isaac Newton never said it. Albert Einstein never said it. But yeah, and I don't want to point too many. You know, I don't want to point fingers at USGS because, truly, you know, they're one of the superlative scientific bodies on planet Earth. Let's keep that in mind. But they've really painted themselves into a corner on this one because if you look back 15 years ago, you know, they've been saying impossible, impossible, balderdash for a whole century. But from the first book, Predicting the Next Great Quake, to the second book, Forecasting the Catastrophe, they're not saying that now. It's they're quiet as mice about these gravitational tides. And I was thinking about Christchurch and Seattle because I'm going on Seattle Talk Radio on the 19th of March because that's the next date in the earthquake almanac. And if your listeners have any interest in seeing if there's any water that this theory holds, they might, in the back of their mind, keep that date in mind.
19th of March. So let's give everyone a little bit of
and
background.
April 18th, March 19th and or April 18th, the next two dates coming up. There's 181 dates. I don't mean to interrupt, but there's 181 dates. These two next dates are a little bit more probable than the others in the book.
Yeah, and you talk about this. You use a pattern to formulate those 181 specific times and dates of what you're calling higher probability for seismic activity on the West Coast through to the year 2020. Give a little background for the people who might not have caught you the first time around. How did you piece this all together?
Well, I was thrown out of my bed three times at dawn. I moved to Southern California back and forth from Texas, and when I got there in the late 80s, within a matter of 4 years, I was thrown out of my bed three times on three different occasions. At almost, you mentioned the periodicity of these quakes, keep the Chilean quakes. In Southern California, there are a couple of quakes that have struck on the exact same day, separated by years. There, Northridge and Gorman and a couple others are separated by seconds. 4:44 in the morning, 4:43 in the morning. They always happen at dawn and at dusk. And then the third time I got thrown out of my bed at Northridge at 4:30 in the morning, it became as I can't believe that there aren't 10 million people screaming solar tides in Southern California. That did it for me. And I went back and looked at the statistics. I looked at the data, and lo and behold, not only did these 27 quakes that took place, the big quakes in Southern California over the last 60 years, take place with this certain periodicity, but they also took place during new and full moons, dawn and dusk, during near syzygy events when the Earth, Sun, and Moon were aligned in such a fashion as to put the most gravitational tidal stress on the fault line, giving it reason to part, you know, giving it further impetus for a seismic event. So this isn't voodoo science. It's as old as I mentioned Newton. You know, he's the guy who discovered gravitational tides. It simply goes back. I simply went back into history and I looked at all the great quakes that struck Southern California, and lo and behold, out of the 23 great quakes that struck in Southern California over those 60 years, seven of them, one-third of them, took place during these unbelievably thin time windows of dawn and dusk during new and full moon at syzygy, where it's almost like an eclipse. And I did the math on that, by the way. You can imagine it's astronomical. One out of 50 billion that such a thing could happen randomly. So I'm not ready to buy those kind of that's winning the California lottery a couple of times in the same week. It seems to me the opposite is true. It's a periodicity. It's the signal of some sort of a system in play here.
Yeah, I agree with you. And can you imagine an early warning system, what that would do for the people like you say, Seattle, where they did have an earthquake? What was it, in the 90s there was an earthquake that was pretty decent size, and it's lucky that wasn't worse.
The one that I wrote in predicting the next great quake, the 90s, you're talking about the 1996 quake, the largest, second largest quake in Seattle's history in 50 years, which I missed by 69 minutes. And again, you can't pull that kind of stuff out of a hat without, without it either being completely a hoodwinking business or the obvious sign of some sort of a periodicity. I mean, the odds of that happening, I wouldn't bother to figure, but the quake you mentioned was a pretty good size one, 5.4. It shook the kingdom and stopped that nationally televised game. And again, it was the fifth entry, I believe, in the first book I wrote. It took place at dusk during a near syzygy event. And, I started talking about Seattle, these near syzygy events go all the way up to Alaska, the largest earthquake ever to take place in North America's history, the 64 quake that destroyed Anchorage. Again, same deal, took place 36 minutes outside of the range where there would be the maximum amount of gravitational stress put on the fault lines via the tides. The last big one in on the San Andreas, the Fort Tejon quake, 1857. Mm. Again, same sort of phenomenon. So I don't know how much piling
more
on
evidence.
All this evidence is silly. That's why I'm taking this public, and I every chance I get, I to put the next dates out there. I do so that. Unfortunately, I think what's going to have to happen is someone's going to have to listen to one of these interviews in the past and juxtapose it with something that's on the front page of the newspaper to actually get something done.
Yeah, no kidding. So remember those dates, March 19th, April 18th. David, always a pleasure to have you on. We certainly support you in your quest. I hope more people start to listen to what you're saying. The evidence is pretty clear. So close the time, especially what you predicted when we were talking about Seattle. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Kate, very much.
Remember, you can pick up his books, too, by the way. Fascinating read. Amazon.com or, of course, Barnes & Noble.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge. Stops costly pump outs and repairs and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products, and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Welcome back to America Tonight. You know, we've been talking about the deep water drilling, the lack of deep water drilling in the Gulf and how ridiculous it's been. We even did a trip down to Mississippi. And when you see that the price of the pumps goes up, and in Chicago they're paying $4, in the West Coast in Los Angeles they're paying top dollar. I mean, all over the country everybody's feeling the pain at the pump. We know a lot of this is because of the bad news in the Middle East, the chaos and whatnot. Even though I've said many times, when you look at Libya, most of what happens with Libya, since it's 17th on OPEC's list, most of their oil is actually going to Asia and Europe. But what happens there definitely affects us in the United States. Go back to the 70s. When have we opened another refinery? This is part of the problem. So it's a pleasure to be joined by John Mavritich here on America Tonight. He is the Director of Communications for the Institute for Energy Research. And, John, first off, after I said all that stuff, and I think this is just a mere drop in the bucket, how about the Interior Department, I think because of political pressure, finally buckling and approving the first Gulf of Mexico a deep water drilling permit? What's your reaction to that?
Right. Well, thanks, Gabe, for having me. It seems sort of coincidental that he issued that permit the same week that he'll be have to sit in front of Republican lawmakers on Wednesday and Thursday of this week to defend the economic consequences that that he's imposed on the Gulf of Mexico. There's Americans that have lost their jobs, their payroll that has been lost, and government royalties that have been lost. And so he's looking to let out a little bit of that political steam by saying, hey, look, I did issue a permit. So, you know, can't give me too much heat. But really what we see is 10 months lacking in that permitting process.
Yeah, and what has that 10 months done to the people who make a living in the oil industry? I mean, we see Louisiana got swacked with this. That's why Bobby Jindal was out of his mind, the governor of Louisiana, trying to say, listen, we're doing everything we can, and we have all these systems in place. Give me a break here. So it's really been pretty crippling.
Right, absolutely, and rightfully so. He was going out of his mind. I mean, we had a study coming out of Louisiana State University that showed that just in the first 6 months alone, there were going to be 12,000 jobs lost, $2.1 billion in wages in the Gulf region alone, and that's just in the first 6 months. Remember, that was from just the explicit moratorium when Secretary Salazar backpedaled and said, well, it's not an explicit moratorium, but I'm still not going to issue permits. There still was no drilling going on, so there's even more economic consequences coming from those the next 4 months that lead us today where we're at, where we just have an industry in the Gulf that could be producing billions of dollars in profits, but instead is sitting idle.
Yeah, and killing so many people and killing so many livelihoods along the Gulf Coast, too, that are related to the oil industry, not just the people specifically on the rigs that are right there in the middle of it, but people in the hotel business, people in restaurants, as certainly you know. Last week, they do have a big announcement about the well containment system. It's state-of-the-art. I heard it's just incredible, and that the containment system pretty much is what's being dubbed as the new gold standard. I talked to someone earlier today about this, and they were working with Exxon, and they said, boy, you got to see this thing. This is incredible, because we're talking about a containment cap even that's very capable of operating in some incredibly deep, deep, deep water. What have you heard about the new system?
Right. Well, we know that the cap is the product of four of the majors coming together, Exxon, Chevron, Shell, and ConocoPhillips, to bring pretty much state-of-the-art equipment down to up to 8,000 feet depth. Remember, the Deepwater Horizon blow was at around 5,000 feet, I believe it was. And it spilled 40,000 barrels of oil. This new cap is able to collect up to 60,000 barrels of oil. So the industry has shown that it can handle worst-case scenarios. Whether that's enough to convince Secretary Salazar to increase the amount of permits remains to be seen.
Right, because it is just one permit. And as you mentioned, it's been 10 months with this moratorium on the deepwater drilling. So with all the people that have been affected and all the money that's been lost, and I wonder why we're seeing the price at the pump go up. You know a little bit about this, too. I said it, that Libya doesn't directly supply the United States, but certainly we get a chunk of our oil from the Middle East. We know the Saudis have the most of the oil to give, and the problem is also, right, John, the refinery capacity, because we haven't built any refineries.
Well, yeah, I mean, remember that the problem is not resource deficiency in our country. We have billions of barrels of oil recoverable starting tomorrow. The reason that we're so dependent on countries that are in the Middle East or other hostile nations is because of American energy policy. And this hasn't just started with President Obama, but of course it's been accelerated by President Obama. He's got Secretary Salazar in there. He's probably the most anti-energy person in that post in recent decades. They see growth in the energy industry as a problem, not a solution. So we have to look at home. Unfortunately, the people in Washington, D.C., that are literally crippling the industry that could be flourishing at home.
Yeah, no kidding. And you mentioned the big four, ExxonMobil, of course, Chevron, Royal Dutch Shell, ConocoPhillips, and that's four of them that we're talking about. They helped develop what we were just talking about, the oil well containment cap. But how many of the guys that are pros that would work in this deep water drilling industry have gone to other places? Have we lost?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure of the exact number here, but we can be sure that especially the deep water rigs have gone elsewhere because they haven't been able to drill. And this actually goes back to another point you were making in that the small guys, the restaurants, the hotels, the people that are on land, they don't have the capital to go elsewhere, to go to Africa or South America, where countries are welcoming those rigs as, you know, a vessel of economic opportunity and jobs and government revenue. They're stuck here where energy policy is continuing to stifle the industry. And so it's actually the small businesses, the mom and pops, that are really getting hurt by these policies.
Boy, yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. Tell us, while we have you here, John, tell us more about the Institute for Energy Research. Obviously, you guys are keeping tabs on, for example, what's happening with deep water drilling for oil in the Gulf and whatnot and the need to get back to that. But what are some of the other things that you watchdog, if you will?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, of course, we're looking at federal policy. We also look at state policies that try to stifle the energy industry in states by placing caps on the amount of affordable energy that you can use or mandating that you use a certain amount of energy coming from politically connected sources. Basically, our mantra is that the free market, consumers making choices on their own, is the best way to bring about economic growth. And as history shows, economic growth, it's not a zero-sum game. Everyone wins. And so these are the type of policies that we need to be implementing in Washington, not this type of top-down command and control system whereby the federal government is looking to control the energy industry. Instead, let consumers choose what's best for their lifestyle, what's most affordable, what's most reliable. And that's how you're going to bring about economic growth and avoid the type of recessions that we're in right now.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. We should tell everybody, too, the permit, by the way, is for a project that's about, I think, 70-some miles southeast of a place called Venice, Louisiana. And
right.
This is just one. Again, this is just one permit. And we talked about
it's
the 10.
It's also not new.
Yes, it's not new.
For an existing project that was going on before the Deepwater Horizon. So there's still no new exploratory drilling going on.
Yeah, no kidding. So you mentioned this, too. It's the timing is interesting, the fact that you've got the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee that they're going to have some testimony, obviously, on the Hill before the lawmakers. So when you see, like, Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska saying, hey, you know, maybe they can issue some more permits. So this is one.
Right.
But how about the rest of them? Because it would be easy to throw this up, you know, not to be overly cynical, but it's easy to throw this out as bait. And then guess what? Everybody slurks back and says, oh, well, maybe they're opening this up. But how long does that permit process take? It takes a while anyway to get all your ducks in a row and then get shot down and then have to come back again, right?
Right, right. Well, we actually saw up in Lisa Murkowski's area in Alaska, Shell was looking to do some exploratory drilling up there. And after receiving, I believe it was 35 permits, they had the final one, the 35th, yanked from underneath them. And so it killed all their plans for the year. They have no plans to go back this year because the permit was yanked from them. So it's not just a matter of getting one permit. And unfortunately, with the increasingly complex regulatory structure that companies are having to go through, the number of permits is increasing. The number of agencies that they have to deal with is increasing. Meanwhile, the amount of time they spend producing energy is decreasing.
Yeah, what a way to end this. We'll be keeping our eyes on, obviously, what's happening here. We talk about it a lot on America Tonight. John, thanks so much for shedding some light. We appreciate your time on ATN.
Thank you for having me.